You'll find Romans chapter 8 in your scripture this morning. We're going to continue talking about some of the great truths in that particular book. We hear this concept of adoption as believers in Christ, but I don't think we spend enough time really talking about that. Pastor Edwin Lutzer of Moody Bible Church tells a story about a local doctor in the town that he grew up in that really kind of helped this sear into his brain what it meant to be adopted. During World War II, Dr. Cronin was the guy's name. There was a family that lived in his community that housed a refugee boy after World War II was over. He was left homeless as a result of the war, and he came to the United States. And Dr. Cronin's friend, the Adams family, not that Adams family, but the other Adams family, housed this little boy from Italy. His name was quite difficult to pronounce. His first name was Paul, which is relatively easy, but his last name was Piotro Stanalsi. Paul Piotro Stanalsi. And he was living with the Adams family that was friends with the doctor. Long story short, little Paul was kind of rebellious. He was kind of a troublemaker. He kind of didn't always listen. He kind of, you know, was always keeping the family pot stirred and was requiring much more discipline typically than the rest of the family. The Adams had a son named Sam. And Sam was small and slight and sickly most of the time. Just kid that really kind of needed a lot of attention. But Paul and Sam got to be really, really good friends. Well, Paul contracted rheumatic fever and all other kinds of complications that go along with that. And as a result, they separated the boys and told them, look, y'all can't be together right now until the medicines have done what they're supposed to do and until the doctors got you better. And so Dr. Cronin was working, try to make sure Paul got well and make sure Sammy didn't get sick. Well, Paul and Sammy, like I said, were good friends, and Paul missed being able to hang out and be with and sleep with Sammy. And so Paul comes down from the basement or the attic bedroom and curls up with his buddy Sam. And long story short, he winds up getting Sam sick. Well, Paul eventually gets well, but Sam doesn't. Sam dies. And Sam is buried. And Paul continues to live with the Adams family. One day, Dr. Cronin was making a house call and he pulls up in the driveway and he sees little Paul helping Mr. Adams in the garden, in the yard. And something inside of him just snapped. And he was angry because Sammy was dead and Paul had lived. And so he gets out of the car and he approaches Mr. Adams and he asks Mr. Adams, he said, why do you let that Paul, whatever his name is, live with you still after what he did to Sammy? This is what got Dr. Cronin, because in that moment, Mr. Adams looked at the doctor and he said, doctor, you're not going to have to worry about not knowing what Paul's last name is anymore, because he's now Paul Adams. We have adopted him and he is now our child. He needed us. We needed him. We love him. And he is now part of our family. And Pastor Lutzer tells in that moment that all of a sudden Dr. Cronin understood what it meant to be adopted. You see, God has forgiven us more than we understand. And he has chosen to make adoption available to us through his son, Jesus Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine this week. We were talking about this subject of adoption. And Glenn said, there's more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. There's more grace in God's heart than there is sin in your past. He loves you that much. He cares about you that deeply. Romans talks about us being adopted. What a great word. What a great concept. What a great rescue. But it even has greater impact when you and I understand that adopting each one of us has always been Yahweh's plan for our life. Before we get to Romans, let me draw your attention to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Christ Jesus. This is what He wants to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. It gave God great pleasure to make adoption available to you and to me. What a gift. Now, let's see what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if we live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit, then you will put to death the misdeeds of your body and you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Let me read that again. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. And by Him, which is Christ, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in the sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. Paul's explaining this to the Christian church at Rome, and he says, there are four things that happen to you and to me when we choose to believe in, belong to, and live for Jesus Christ, when we choose to be adopted into God's family. The first thing that happens is that we receive the Spirit, as we talked about last week, and that Spirit brings life. The Spirit brings life. Now, we understand that we're already alive, but that Spirit brings life for not only the here, but also the hereafter. It gives us the juice that we need in order to live here, and it gives us the hope that we're going to be with Him in the hereafter. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Paul later writes, look, the things I want to do are the things I can't, and the things I can't do are the things that I don't want to do. I'm under no obligation to continue to live this way. But he acknowledges the fact that the struggle is real. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, then you will live. Adam and Eve. Perfect people, created by God, to live in a perfect place. And even though they had perfect people in a perfect place, sin entered into the world through their disobedience, which took away their perfection. And the judgment of that is sin and death. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that the wages of sin is death. And the separation was immediate. The separation from God was immediate. When you and I arrive into this world, we're born into sin. We're born into a sinful condition, and we are born separated from God. Arthur Warren Wiersbe says that we are born into the family of sin and death, but thanks to Christ, we've been adopted into another family, and it is the family of grace and life. Because of the Holy Spirit, and because Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, it is the Spirit of adoption. It makes us part of God's family. The verse tells us that we begin life through the Spirit. And living according to the flesh brings death, but living according to the Spirit brings life. So you're either living to die or you're dying to live. Don't just live to die, but die to self so that you might live. Live according to the Spirit of God. Live for self and you'll die spiritually. We draw new strength and we live for different things when we are in Christ. We are given a new life when we are adopted into God's family. The Spirit brings us that life. Secondly, Christ's Spirit brings us leadership. He doesn't leave us floundering around and wondering what to do next. He wants to lead us. Verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Here's where we make our mistake. We make our mistake in thinking that the Spirit is obligated to come in and push out all of the desires that we want and overtake us with all of the desires that He wants. We expect the Spirit of Christ in us to make us mindless automatons and robots to simply do whatever it is God wants us to do. And that's not how God operates. See, just like Adam and Eve were created to be perfect people and live in a perfect place, God also gave them a choice. He said, if you want to remain perfect people and if you want to remain in this perfect place and walk with me in the garden of the cool of the day, don't eat from that tree. Only instructions they had. Other than that, hang out, chill, meet me in the park this afternoon, we'll go for a walk. Don't eat from that tree. And they violated God by violating the choice that he gave them. He said, because if you eat from that tree, you're going to die. So we can be led by the Spirit, but the Spirit's not going to come in and force his way into our life. We have to want to be led by the Spirit. In fact, that's what the word means. The word means willingly led by the Spirit. He wants to guide us. He wants to help us have better love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and understanding. He wants to lead us to those things, but we have to be willing to be led to those things. To the church of Galatia it is written, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. You get that? Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. You have to be a willing participant in letting the Spirit lead you. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature wants. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that we are not free to carry out our own good intentions. There's a cosmic battle that goes on inside of you. And it's a battle between you and the worldly influences in your life and the Spirit. And Paul said, you have to let the Spirit of Christ lead you. This happens all the time. People will come to me and they will try to be working something out in their life. And they'll come to me about a decision that they've made in their life. And they always preface it by saying something like, you know, I've been praying about this, or I've really been trying to seek the Lord's will in all of this. And then they'll drop the bomb on me and they'll tell me that God has led them to take an easier path and an easier course and an easier journey in their life. I really believe this is what the Lord wants me to do, they'll say. Unfortunately, that mentality doesn't line up with Scripture. And I need you to hear this, and I need you to hear this with all the love in my heart from a pastor who wants the most for his people. Being led by the Spirit of Christ almost always leads to deeper commitment, deeper sacrifice, deeper discipleship, deeper service, deeper devotion. It almost always leads deeper into being more like Christ. It always leads to bettering the kingdom of God. Being led by the Spirit almost always requires more of you, not less. Being led by the Spirit almost always requires more of your time, not less. Being led by the Spirit almost always requires more of your talent, not less. Being led by the Spirit almost always requires more of your resources, not less. Because being led by the Spirit is being led to advance the kingdom of God. So when I hear people say, I can't do this or I can't do that or, you know, whatever, and they tell me that this is what the Lord's leading them to do, in my mind it doesn't jive with the Scripture. In the Scripture's mind it doesn't jive with the Scripture. When you are proud of your adopted status, you want to help others get adopted too. Beggars helping beggars find bread, right? The Spirit of God living inside of you leads you to the will of God to help others get adopted. If the Spirit leads you, it will be to greater faith. It will be to greater sacrifice. It will be to greater kingdom interest, not less. This brings us to the irony and the paradox of the third point about living in the Spirit, and that is that Christ's Spirit brings freedom. This is a kingdom upside down. The rich shall be poor, the last shall be first, the slave shall be free. Over and over and over again in the New Testament, we get this construct. And so while the leadership of the Spirit leads us to a deeper life in Christ, where we are more intentional about the things of Christ and more intentional about the kingdom of God, we are also more free. How can that possibly be? Well, we're free to want the right things and not the wrong things. The psalmist says, "Delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." What we've interpreted that is that if I check off a few religious boxes, then Jesus has to do for me, or God has to do for me what I want God to do for me. And that's not what that verse says. That verse says when you delight yourself in the things of God, when you delight yourself in being what God wants you to be, then the things of your heart align with the things of His heart and you are content. Romans chapter 8, 15. "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful as slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father." The word Abba translates Papa. It is an intentionally intimate, childlike word. Because this is the relationship that we now have. I have been adopted into God's family, and as God's child, I am free to follow Christ. Not man-made religion, not rules and regulations. It's what Romans refers to as the law. But Christ. Jesus was talking to a bunch of people, a bunch of religious people in John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, Jesus says this to the most religious people in the city. "Why can't you understand what I am saying? It is because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil. And your father, the devil, has always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. And when he lies, he is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies." Jesus died and rose again so that everyone could have access to the Father of the truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. You want to come to the Father of life and light? Come to me." Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, again, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery." What kind of slavery is he talking about? The Jewish church of the day had set up a system of rules and regulations that you couldn't take more than so many steps on the Lord's Day. You couldn't help a person if they got in trouble on the Lord's Day. There was just all these ridiculous rules and regulations that had nothing to do with kingdom principle. And he's writing to the church in Galatia, and he's like, don't let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. The yoke is the thing that hangs around your neck and that attaches you to the drudgery of plowing the same old thing, the same old way, all the time. Instead, Jesus says there's another yoke. Same principle of being hooked up and strapped in, but Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Wait a minute. Being strapped into the yoke of plowing is not restful. unless you're strapped to Christ and Christ gets to lead you and Christ gets to do the heavy pulling and the heavy lifting and you just get to hang out by His side and learn from Him. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Problem is that being yoked to Christ and being yoked to whatever it is you want to be yoked to are typically not the same thing. And one of the reasons you feel like you live in drudgery is because you're not being yoked to Christ and you're not doing and pulling in the direction that Christ wants you to pull your life. Instead of being yoked to slavery and to a bunch of rules and regulations that aren't going to bring you salvation anyway, be yoked to Christ. Learn from Him. His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Jesus says, so if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Wait a minute. I can be free and yoked at the same time? Jesus says so. To be yoked is to be free. Not enough Christians today live in freedom of being bound to Christ. Something we all struggle with. I appreciated Christy's honesty. Lord, I've failed you so many times this morning. Anybody else testimony like that today? Absolutely. Thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God we can go to Him and be honest like that. You and I will be free when you and I are willing to be bound to Christ. You and I will be free when you and I are willing to be slaves to Christ. Doesn't make sense. The Scripture promises us that following Jesus is going to be foolish to other people. True story. It doesn't make sense. There's a fourth truth, that Christ's Spirit also brings inheritance. It brings inheritance. 16 and 17, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. What a gift. The Spirit inside of me confirms the fact that I am God's child. And since we are God's children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Heirs with God, joint heirs with Christ. You know what that means? That means we share in the great joy of heaven because of all that Christ has done for us. We don't have to be slaves to sin and self. We don't have to be spiritual paupers anymore. Because in Christ, we can be adopted into a royal bloodline. We can have a new lineage in our life. Part of belonging to a family is being present, right? If you belong to a family, then they invite you to the birthday parties. And they expect you to be present. They invite you to the anniversary celebrations. You're invited to the weddings and the gender reveals. You're invited to the promotions and the quinceañeras. You're invited to the holidays. You're invited to the good times. You're invited to the fun times. You're invited to the happy times. And what do? You show up. You bring a gift. And you're glad to be there. You're glad to have a place to belong. But belonging to a family also means being present in times of sickness and in times of grief and in times of unemployment and in times of death and tragedy and hunger and fear. Belonging to a family means that you are also there in the bad times, in the dark times, bringing light, in the sad times, trying to bring joy. But you show up, you participate, because you're glad to belong. You're glad to belong. Being adopted into God and enjoying the benefits of being an heir to the family fortune of heaven comes with the glory of understanding sacrifice. You belong to the family, and so you get the good. You're invited to the good, but you belong to the family, you're also invited to the bad. Romans 8:17 finishes this way. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His suffering. We just want to be invited to the good stuff. We don't want to have to go and participate in the bad stuff. We want all the potlucks and all the fellowships that kingdom has to offer, but we don't want any of the nitty-gritty, grinded-out spiritual work that has to be done. Jesus Himself says, you got to take up your cross. If you want to be My disciple, then there are sacrifices that you have to make. Paul says, if you want to be adopted and if you want to share in His glory, then you must also share in the suffering that comes along with that. As believers, we have to stop looking for the easy way of life in Christ. Have we been adopted? Yes. And that adoption is secure. But as God's children, we expected to help promote and to run the family business of building the kingdom. And as God's children, in helping promote and run the family business of building the kingdom, we get all of the good stuff. But there are also sacrifices that have to be made. And Jesus says, if you're yoked to Me, the sacrifices are okay. If you're yoked to Me, then you're doing what we love. We do this according to God's gifting and God's will for our lives. Being adopted. It's a beautiful thing. It brings life from the Spirit. It brings leadership from the Spirit. It brings freedom from the Spirit. It also brings an inheritance. But it also comes with some expectations on us. So how will you respond to your adoption today? Will you help build the family business and expand the kingdom of God? For if we share in His heirship, we also share with His sacrifice. Father, help us to decide today that You are worth it and that we can set ourselves aside and yoke ourselves to You. Help us understand the weight of what that means and help us work that out to bring honor and glory to You by the way we live our life. In Your name, amen.